Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's do this!
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. One day closer to opening day, we'll talk to Craig Kishon. We'll talk to him about the Brewers. We could throw some bucks in there, but he's going to join us, the Fox Sports Wisconsin host, around 9 o'clock today. Bucks in action tonight against the Rockets, the MVP battle under the microscope. And I was trying to think, Chuck, of what's the first thing like I wanted to say to you in the morning, and I wanted to tell you this at some point. I'm just going to tell you this now because I need to get it in public record so that I'm motivated to do something about it.
Should it be something that should be said in private?
Not this one. I'm fine sharing this one.
Okay.
I have massive shin splints today.
Oh.
Massive shin splints.
Shin. S-H-I-N.
Yes. Okay. Shin splints, which sometimes I'll get if I haven't worked out in a while and then I'm physically active. My shin will be in massive pain. And it'll go away, but it's just something that, you know, I and a lot of people have dealt with. So I was trying to think, wait a minute. I have shin splints. When did I work out last? I'm trying to rack my brain. Did I, like, go for a run and don't remember? I remember. Sunday, I went to the Bucks game, and I parked 10 blocks away. And I'm so inactive that I have shin splints from walking a total of 20 blocks because I'm so sedentary in my normal life.
Well, that's not something to brag about, though.
No, are you not bragging.
Now, is that some motivation to get in shape?
That me getting this out there in the public record is hopefully going to motivate me to get in shape.
Shin splints, man. See, I think shin splints, I used to get those in like high school and grade school, during basketball season, because you'd be running sprints, running what was called suicides back then, where you touch every line, which absolutely every guy who ever played basketball hated doing. I mean, then you'd get done practicing at night.
Well, I've run my share of suicides.
Those are terrible, those shin splints. So I haven't had those since then. But and I, you know, I run like three times a week, but I haven't had shin splints since then. But I always guessed shin splints were from something you do on a repetitive basis. Like if you walk 10 blocks, maybe 5-7 times a week, then you might get them, or run, you know. But one little walk,
I don't know what to tell you. I parked my car 10 blocks away and walked to the arena and then walked back, and my shins are in massive pain.
Wow.
So I thought I needed to get that in public record, and I was going to be like, woe is me, I'm so hurt. But then as I'm just kind of looking at the internet here this morning before we go on the show, did you see the Nurkic injury last night?
No, I didn't. I thought you were going to say that there was an article in the Journal Sentinel how Giannis should be treating, how he treats his leg injuries, and maybe you take some advice from Laurie Nichols' column this morning.
No, let me open your thing. Open your messenger.
And I see the story right
watch
here.
Watch the injury.
Okay.
And for those of you, because this is an audio platform, at some point, find the Nurkic injury if you want to be insanely grossed out.
Oh, I just saw it. Him going down in the lane there. Like
Trailblazer center last night, overtime game.
Yeah.
Goes down, essentially snaps his leg in half.
God, that's gruesome. I hate seeing gruesome injuries like that.
Laying on the floor, has to get stretchered off.
It's like, you know, when he saw... Do you remember when Andrew Bogut hurt his elbow?
I do.
Now, when I see Bogut, I always think of that injury. It was against the Suns. I was there that night. It just was gruesome to see. And even like Joe Theismann, when he went down, I mean, he had a great career, but you think of one of the first things that comes to mind is an injury. Now, when you see this, you're going to think of, man, the Nurkic injury. What a horrible fracture. Could end his career.
It looks very, very bad.
I mean, there's guys who've had injuries like this, and they've fallen like this, Bart, and they've debated whether or not they should amputate the knee. It's been so bad.
If you remember Gordon Hayward's injury, it's like five times as worse.
God.
Than that.
Oh, man.
But this is a thought that goes through my head when basically I watch any basketball game. Because so Nurkic last night, Yusuf Nurkic for the Trailblazers, he essentially snapped his leg in half just below the knee. It's really, really, really bad. But the result of the play was he's just going in for a rebound. He probably jumps 6 to 8 inches off the ground and then just lands on it poorly. And now he's not going to be able to play for a long, long time. And I think about that when I watch the Bucks. I think about that when I watch the Badgers or Marquette. Basketball, it amazes me how quickly you can get injured. I mean, Tony Snell's out for a little bit with a ankle sprain. He just kind of stepped on a guy's foot. Now, that's not nearly as bad as this one. But these guys are flying around. You know, I can maybe understand why Giannis's agent didn't want him to dunk in that commercial.
Well,
all those years ago or months ago. It's just so easy to have the unpredictable happen. Paul George, Team USA, the way that he got hurt. So you worry about that, and then you start to think, well, if the Bucks don't have much to play for, you know, try to minimize these situations as much as possible. How much should they be resting over the last 8 games?
Well, I mean, thinking in everyday life, too. I mean, how many guys, I mean, I know so many people who slipped on ice this winter. I did.
Oh, sure.
A couple other guys who were in broadcasters in this city slipped and fell. And one guy I know fractured his rib, or his rib, his hip. He doesn't have to have surgery. But, man, it's just, I mean, it's so easy to do it. And you're thinking, man, that could have been avoided. But with basketball, you're out there. Like Mirotić, I mean, he's out now with, you know, 2 to 4 weeks. But he broke his hand defending a player, or he broke his finger, or you know, snapped his finger, fractured his thumb. So, I mean, you have no control over that.
You've got Brogdon on the shelf right now. You've got, well, Paul Gasol. You've got Tony Snell. You've got Nico Mirotić. And these are going to be guys that you need in some capacity come playoff time. I think for the most part, the optimism is that Snell should be back by the playoffs, that Mirotić should be back by the playoffs. The last I saw from Budenholzer, Brogdon may miss a series and a half yet with the plantar fasciitis.
Yeah, and that's not because he like stepped on somebody's foot. Or I mean, that's just like stress.
So not only do you have like the wear and tear, which is why Giannis does need to, you know, keep his legs as fresh as possible, but you also have these freak injuries. And it just, I mean, even with Jabari Parker, the way that he got hurt twice with the Bucks, that totally changed his career. It just, it's, I think of it a lot when I'm watching basketball, that anything can turn in any minute. And maybe that's just the, you know, worrisome nature that I live with on a daily basis. But seeing it last night with Nurkic, I mean, it's, I don't know. I have on my screen right now the injury on replay, and I don't know why I keep watching it, but
well,
it's disgusting.
You look at our two sports teams here. Both teams are going through a little uncertainty now with injuries. The Brewers, the back end of their bullpen with Knebel and Jeffress. You know, shoulder weakness. Knebel's got that tear in his elbow. Who knows when he's going to pitch again? They're battling injuries. And with the Bucks, like Giannis. I mean, we all know if Giannis goes down, that's it. I mean, that's akin to Rodgers going down in Green Bay. Giannis goes down, we know what's going to happen there. You know, they're not going to do anything. They could lose in the first round of the playoffs easily. But, you know, he's battling knee pain and that ankle sprain. He's not over yet. So he's got two things. He hurt his ankle against Philly a week ago Sunday. So he's battling two issues right now.
And we've seen Giannis on the ground for longer than a second twice in the last 2 weeks, including Friday night was down a little longer than you'd want, and the air gets sucked out of Pfizer form, as you would expect. So I just, as we talk today about the Bucks, and we preview the game tonight with the Rockets, and we'll have Gary Wolfel on at 8:20. We're going to talk to Craig Ackerman, covers the Rockets at 9:30, really to dive into their perspective of the MVP race. You kind of wonder, with 8 games left, I mean, Giannis doesn't want to think about it. You just want to play it out. But if the Bucks do sit Giannis more than they play him over these last 8 games, they essentially could be costing him the MVP. And then you try to think, well, in the long run, is that important? Do you want to keep him going? I, Let me say this. He's played more in the last 2 to 3 weeks than I thought he would. There's been some games, some back-to-backs that I thought, all right, he's not going to play here, but he still plays. All right, he'll be on like a 20-minute restriction, but he still plays. So you do wonder over the last 8 games, and with a lot of injured bodies, he almost has to play, but you just kind of wonder, do you take care of these guys? How hard do you play for the one seed, which I think they're just going to walk into at this point? They've got such a lead over Toronto that they could rest Giannis the next 8 games and still get the one seed. It's just all those little factors, and you don't want to say, well, of course you don't worry about the MVP, but I don't know about that. I don't know.
It'd be a damn shame if he just sat out these final 8 games. It'd be a damn shame if sitting out the final 8 games of a regular season, when you pretty much have the number one seed clinch and the whole big body of the work that he's done throughout the season and getting him to the number one seed, sitting out the final 8 games of the season should not cost you the MVP.
But the MVP, I think, isn't about overall body of work. It's about who's leading the race at that time.
Well, it should be.
Narratives.
It should be where were you taking your team, and where's the team without you? The team without him is nowhere. Okay, we saw them lose against Cleveland last Wednesday, and they're a nowhere team without him. You put him on that team, and they're the number one seed in the East, and they're one of the best teams in the NBA, if not the best team. But if he missed a few games and that cost him the MVP, it's a damn shame, considering what we've seen of him and all the big moments and what he's done to the team. And you hear opposing coaches rave about him. I don't look at tonight's matchup between Harden and Giannis and like, oh, whoever scores most is going to win the MVP, or whoever wins is going to be the MVP.
Well, that's because you have some semblance of rationality in the argument, when I don't think the national framing of this narrative does.
Yeah, that's a shame if that's the case, because the MVP should have already been decided. It should be Giannis. I know that Harden's averaging, 36 a game, but it's not like how many points a game. I mean, 36, that's an excessive amount of points. But still, Giannis, I don't see how he wouldn't win the MVP. Trust me, if he didn't win the MVP, it would save me $500. So
our bet, yeah.
Yeah, it would save me $500 in my bet with you.
And I want $500 from you after my tough pot of weekend two weeks ago.
You need to zero that balance there.
I just think that, and I'm going to really very quickly dip my toe into politics for a second, because I'm somebody that used to like watching cable news a lot.
Yeah.
But now it's over the, and I'm not just, this is over the last 8 years. Okay. It's always shiniest object and we flock to it and they obsess about it. And
the Winkler report.
Yeah. We're talking about things we don't even know. And it's just, it's all a mess.
Yeah.
And the way that cable news works is they go to the shiniest object, and it's like everybody gets stupid for a second, and you can only think of one thing at a time. And that's how this MVP race is going. Everybody that talks about it gets stupid. Like Giannis, in the month of March, Chuck, is averaging 29, 12, and 6. 29 points, 12 rebounds, and 6. Every night, he's got a double-double outside of two nights when he's at 8 rebounds or 9. He'll go 26, 13, and 6. He'll go 33, 16, and 9. That is not as flashy as one game where James Harden scores 61 points the other day. And case in point, when's the most attention Giannis has gotten for a performance in the last month? It was against the Sixers when he put up 52, his career high. The Bucks lost. Fans in Philly were complaining that they weren't getting enough attention, and all the national attention was going to Giannis because he scored 52 in a loss. It's like basketball. We're preaching how much every little facet of the game is important, and then the only thing that's going to determine this MVP debate is points, and James Harden puts up a ton of them.
Well, I mean, if it's based on flash, then that's ridiculous. And unfortunately, some people think that way. Some of these people who vote feel that way, and they get swayed a lot. And yeah, the national media, they watch stuff on ESPN, and they see the highlights and all that, and they don't see big moments, clutch. And we see, and that's the problem with voting for MVP or Manager of the Year and stuff like that. You and I, we see every Bucks game, or we see every team our teams play. But then, you know, I don't see every game that Houston plays. But I know that when I see the Bucks and what Giannis is doing, you'd be hard-pressed to find a guy in the league who's done more for their team than Giannis has for the Bucks this year.
I mean, I don't disagree with that at all.
So, yeah, I would just...
But sadly, 29, 10, and 8 is not as flashy as 42.
It's like
39.
It's like the case I was making for Chris Jenelich for MVP during the baseball season. It was like, man, okay, you look at his numbers, and of course he hit for the cycle, and he did, you know, had some amazing games. But look how many times he came up with big hits in the middle of a rally. I look at that as, you know, a guy who cements MVP status. How many times you come up in a clutch and deliver for your team? How many times does Giannis deliver for the Milwaukee Bucks in a close game? Or, you know, he helps expand a close game into a blowout. It's Giannis who's right in the middle of it. The ball's in his hands. So I guess you can make the same point with Harden. Again, I've probably seen maybe three or four Houston games this season. I don't watch a lot of Houston Rockets basketball, even though I got the package. I just haven't watched. I'd see Harden's way of playing. That kind of bores me a little bit. His individual play, that's not exciting to me, the way he plays.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakery. So if you're just joining us, I have shin splints. Not as bad as Nurkic's injury last night, which we did put on our Twitter account if you would like to be grossed out at 105.7 FM, The Fan. And we'll talk some Giannis and Harden MVP stuff today. Gary Wolfel, 8:20. And Craig Ackerman's going to join us at 9:30 down from Houston to get their side of things. When we come back, the Green Bay Packers' first game is announced. It's going to be very similar to the first game last season. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins here on The Fan.
Now it's Brown. He swings.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. It has been announced the Green Bay Packers in the NFL's 100th season will be a part of the opening game. It's going to take place in Chicago. Thursday Night Football, Packers going to open the season. Packers versus the Bears, September 5th, 7:20 p.m. So Matt LaFleur, new head coach. You know, it usually takes a while for the head coaches to get their system implemented. You'd like maybe a patsy on the schedule to get that taken care of. And nope, you got to open up the NFL's 100th season, and you got to do it against your rival, the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, a night to make either a good impression or a bad impression, opening night against your rival, to go down there in Chicago, where you played well over the years, lost last year, obviously. But, I mean, to go down there and win would be great. On opening night for him, I mean, he could, like you said, he can make a great first impression on Packer fans right out of the start here on national TV.
So they're going to open up the season, and last year they had the game on Sunday Night Football, where it was the Packers' 100th celebration, and they played the Bears. That was on request from Mark Murphy and the Packers to schedule the Bears in Week 1. We know that Rodgers got hurt, came back, and the Packers won in amazing fashion. This year it's going to be the Bears doing the honors. And the I guess the big news is that the Super Bowl champion is not going to be hosting the Thursday night game as it's done for like the last 10 years.
Yeah, and I'm tired of hearing this from Patriot fans already that they feel they're being jobbed here because they're not going to they're not giving Thursday night football. You know what? New England will be on national TV plenty of times again this season, as they were last year and the year before that and the year before that. So Patriot fans that think they're getting screwed here, but you're going to be on national TV plenty of times. I guess if I was a Patriot fan, I'd feel a little bit that way. But, you know, I'm kind of good to see the Patriots get screwed.
Do you want the Packers to play on Thursday?
Absolutely.
I don't.
What's that?
I'd rather them play on Sunday.
Why is that?
I would just rather them play on Sunday.
You know what?
I want, when the NFL starts, I want to, like, you know, get into, I don't need all the stress right away day one.
Oh, okay. You mean a little tune-up, see somebody else playing Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay.
See the Patriots take on the Cowboys or something stupid.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, normally I like I'm the Sunday noon guy anyway. I like the noon games. Used to be a big deal when they played a Monday Night Football, when Monday Night Football actually meant something. But now I just rather see the Sunday game. But I kind of hear what you're saying there. You know, the Brewers are playing a series with the Cubs starting that night too. I mean, which could be a huge series depending on where both teams are.
Oh, sure.
So it's like, man, there's gonna be two huge games that night.
Sunday Night Football on NBC's Twitter account, because the Patriots are gonna play that Sunday night, yeah. And we just don't know who yet.
Yeah.
And they asked people, who do you want to see the Patriots play in week one of Sunday Night Football? Chiefs, Cowboys, or Browns? And then they tweeted right after that, the Patriots also play the Bills, Dolphins, Jets, Steelers, and Giants. I don't know. If we're going to make it NFL 100, I mean, the Patriots should maybe play the Giants. Two good Super Bowl matchups. Maybe they should play the Steelers. You get the team of the 70s, team of the 2000s. But the Browns are leading that poll that Sunday Night Football put out because the Browns are like everybody's favorite or
the
second
team
favorite
right now.
I love them.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm ready to have orange and brown Tuesdays or whatever the hell you want to do.
Come on.
Dude, I want to talk about the Browns more than I want to talk about the Packers right now.
Really?
I love the Browns.
Okay, well,
I'm all in.
I mean, they're not our team.
Baker to Beckham?
They're not our team.
They're my team.
I mean, they're not our team here in the city.
Can I buy ownership in the Browns?
Go ahead.
I would like to do that.
Yeah. You know, first of all, they haven't done anything yet. Wait till they start winning some games.
I cannot wait until they start winning some games.
Well,
I'm very excited.
That's not our team. It's Cleveland's team.
Everybody gets an AFC team.
Oh, no. You know me. I'm either our team or nobody.
You got to have an AFC team. You've never had an AFC team?
I've never had another team. There's not any other teams I like. I mean, in any sport.
In all of NFL, you like one team and the other 31 teams you can do without.
I've never been one of those guys. Unless
you
don't
have an affinity to anyone?
Hey, if I got the Browns plus to three, I'm going to love the Browns that day.
You don't like sort of like the Chargers like everybody?
No. No. I mean,
everybody sort of likes
watching,
the Chargers.
Okay, I love watching the NFL.
Everybody sort of likes the Chiefs.
I just can't. The Chiefs? Really?
Oh, everybody likes the Chiefs.
The Chiefs have always been one of those boring teams. Now they're different.
Everybody my whole life has sort of liked the Chiefs.
Oh, really? I just think the Chiefs.
When the Seahawks were in the AFC, I liked the Seahawks.
Oof. No.
The original Kurt Warner?
I'm just the Packers. Just the Packers.
Ricky Waters?
Mm-mm.
Everybody's got an AFC team.
No. It's like college basketball, too, where there's fans who like Carolina and Duke and Kansas or whatever. I know. I just like our two teams here in the state. Baseball, too. I mean, who's your baseball team?
The Brewers.
Besides the Brewers.
The Rays.
You like Tampa?
I do.
Okay. Yeah, see. Why is that?
We used to vacation in Tampa, and I went to a couple of Rays games, and they're like a plucky underdog, and I liked them the year they went to the World Series. I rooted pretty hard for them, and last year they had enough wins to get in the playoffs on the NL side of things, but they couldn't get in, and I used to like Joe Maddon a real bunch. I just like the Rays, yeah.
Joe Maddon is a good guy.
I like the Rays.
And he is a likable guy. He's like the one thing I do like about the Cubs, other than Pat Hughes and Len Casper.
You don't have a second MLB team?
No.
You don't have a second NBA team?
Mm-mm. No.
Yeah, neither do I.
No. No, I wish I could. I wish I did. I wish I liked other teams. I mean,
I
enjoy
the Warriors,
watching.
And then that's about it.
Yeah, I like watching.
And the Bucks.
I like watching other teams. I like watching other games. I mean, I watch it, but it's like, no, I don't cheer for like the Houston Rockets or Golden State or, God forbid, the Celtics. No, not at all.
Stefan's in his car. Stefan, you got any other secondary teams that you like or no?
You know, I'm kind of a homer. I used to love the Dolphins, but that was when I was a kid and they went undefeated, so everybody was a Dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to like. I'm not going to be buying Brown stuff, but I like the Browns.
But are you talking like the Dolphins of the 70s?
Yep.
Yeah, when they were actually good. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, but hey, I wanted to chime in on this Harden Giannis thing. And, you know, I was saying that I think he's at Horvy there today, but, Harden's a guy that if you're at the Y or you're playing a game in college, you don't want him on your team because you'd never touch the ball. You know, he I know he's only shooting around 44% from the field, and Giannis is like 58, 59. I don't know the field goals attempted per game difference, but I think if Giannis was jacking the ball up as much as Harden, he'd probably be averaging 45 to 50 points a game.
Yeah.
I mean, you really do have to look at the body of work. It's kind of, it's really irritating because it does become a popularity contest. I always complain about the NFL and How do you rate a quarterback in the MVP race when one plays 75% of his games indoors and another guy's playing in the snow? I mean, it's totally different. So I don't like the way that MVP stuff becomes a popularity contest. I think it's Giannis all the way, but we'll see if popularity wins out again and the points scored.
Yeah, you're right about Harden, man. Harden's that guy who, if you played in a pickup basketball game or you played at the Y or open gym, man, that's the guy you don't want on your team because he's taking all the shots. He's not dishing, and when he's dishing, he's asking for the ball back. Yeah, that's like the guy you don't want to have on your team.
Stephen, good call, and I think that's very important if you look at their minutes per game, too. I mean, one of the whole differences between Budenholzer and Kidd is that Budenholzer's playing Giannis less. Giannis playing around 31 minutes mm-hmm. a game. Harden's playing like 38.
Yeah.
And I think their per 36 stats are almost like in line as terms of points per game. So if Giannis was playing more and Harden was playing less, they'd be scoring about the same amount of points. So that's why I don't like when we all get, you know, it just seems like when we have these national conversations, whatever it is, we get stupid and we just look at the shiniest thing. And that's what we focus on. 61 points. I mean, look at the body of work, man. Giannis is a more impactful player, and he's a more valuable player to his team than Harden is,
yeah.
And he should win the MVP.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Houston, they're the third seed in the always shiny Western Conference. But still, Milwaukee's got the best record in the NBA. You got the best record in the NBA. You're going to be the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. Giannis is averaging, what's the latest, 28 points a game, 27, whatever it is. Yeah. MVP. And you look at the Bucks have 19 losses. How many of those losses were without Giannis? What, three or four?
Yeah.
Yeah, three or four of those losses when Giannis did not play. So, yeah, I just think if you look at it, I mean, I said this before too, every month, man, Giannis is NBA player of the month. How do you win MVP? How would you win MVP of every month of the season? All right. And then at the end of the season, the MVP goes to James Harden.
Well, it's someone Eastern Conference.
I wouldn't explain that.
It's Eastern Conference.
Yeah. So is Harden winning the Western Conference one then?
I don't think he's won it every time.
Okay.
I'm sure he's won it at least once.
I think, man, Giannis, without a doubt. I mean, I don't think it's even a question mark. And I, you know, we read these columns on the internet last couple of days about Harden and Giannis, and this matchup is going to decide. No, this matchup tonight shouldn't decide the MVP.
Oh, I don't think it's a question mark either, but this is what the landscape likes to do is keep the narrative going.
I know.
It's pretty boring to just admit, Giannis is the MVP, so we're trying to drum up some drama. That's
just like
what this whole race has become.
Just like in baseball, Bart, we all thought Yelich was the clear-cut MVP. But then, you know, there were some other names that were throwing in it.
Yelich and Baez was a decent discussion until the end of August, maybe even mid-August.
Yeah.
And it became clearly Yelich, but the conversation droned on because just something to talk
about.
But
Yelich just had just a terrific second part of the season, man.
I agree.
And I don't know about it. And again, maybe because we're in a fishbowl and we see our guys every game, and that's what it is. I mean, you and I. I mean, we see Giannis play.
I think that if...
But, I mean, I think objectively, like I told you yesterday, I said if even I was living in Houston, I'd say that Giannis should be the MVP.
Objectively, we know it's Giannis, we knew it was Yelich. And it's not like we're making a stretch either. I mean, it's just pretty obvious.
I mean, even like if Coach of the Year, Mike Budenholzer, how would Mike Budenholzer not be NBA Coach of the
exactly.
Year? Exactly. How would he not, taking this team to where he is in his first year to 55 wins? Yes, no one saw 55 wins with 8 games left to go in the season. So, but I would, if Giannis doesn't win MVP, he'd be getting screwed.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins, 414-799-1250. We'll talk a little more on that with you. And if you guys want to chime in regarding the Packers, Thursday night football announcement against the Bears, that will be the first game of the season. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Sport. A body experience for James Harden. 13 straight points, 61 for the game.
Did you see Devin Booker last night? He put up 59. Is he the MVP?
No, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. 105.7 FM, The Fan. But if James Harden puts up 61 and he's the MVP, why aren't we talking about Devin Booker? He put up 59. That's attractive.
Yeah.
Should be the MVP.
Well, I mean, if that's the way you're thinking, that's not the way to go. I mean, Booker's put up 60 already this year. But
last night in the Suns Jazz game, by the way.
My son's got 17 wins.
Yeah, they got beat by like 30.
Yeah.
But Devin Booker had 59, and there was like 25 seconds left or something. And all the Suns were doing was trying to get Booker the ball again. Just like when he got 60. Mm-hmm. All he would do is take the ball and shoot. And then the Jazz decided to foul somebody else so that Booker didn't get a shot at 60. They were the petty wars of the NBA came back last night. And I thought that was great because the Suns were, you know, the Suns are playing for nothing, and all mm-hmm. they're doing is just giving the ball to Booker to chuck up shots.
Yeah, how about his, did you see his line? 59 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists on the plus minus. You figure with a guy with 59 points, minus 13.
Yeah, no.
How does that happen?
Because the Suns are bad.
I mean, how does that happen? Minus 13.
I don't
13.
Think anyone else scored over 9.
Jeez, I mean, 4 assists. He's taking all the shots. Yeah, I mean, look at the players that they're trying to win with there, though. I mean, their team is terrible. Terrible, and, you know, I mean, this is the worst Suns team I've ever seen.
But Harden put up 61, so he's the MVP, I guess. 414-799-1250. Let's get out to Josh on the north side. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's up, man? When you guys are speaking on this MVP race, the bias seeps in so bad it's, like, hard to really put out a good argument because you can't just say 36 points and scoff at it. It's 36 points. Nobody's done that since Jordan. And he's doing it on less shots than Jordan. Secondly, if Giannis, like the last caller said, he could average 36 with this. No, he couldn't. If he could, he would. That's 9 more points per game. If you could average 9 more points per game, you would do it.
Harden's playing 7 more minutes per game. That's going to add up.
So 7 minutes per game would equal 9 more points on average per game, is what you're saying. Secondly, assist, and then you look at team. He's averaging 7.5 assists per game, too. He's not a ball hog. Secondly, if you look at the team impact, he lost his top 3 best players for a significant amount of time. Each one of them lost many games, Gordon, Chris Paul, and Capella, and a lot of that time was at the same time. If Giannis lost Middleton, Brogdon, and Bledsoe for all significant amount of time, I don't think he would be able to take his team. What were they? I think they were out the playoffs at the time. And he's taking them up to a 3 seed. Now, I will say if they fall out of the top 3, then I would go with the better record. But to just scoff at 36.5 points, 7.5 assists, 6 rebounds.
So our hypothetical's bad, but your hypothetical's good?
What do you mean?
You're saying that you can't just say that 9 points in 7 minutes, and then now you're saying that if the Bucks lost 3 guys, that Giannis won't step up to the plate.
Harden actually lost 3 guys, and he did it. He took them higher. We don't know what Giannis would do with that. Giannis taking more shots doesn't necessarily mean, you know how hard it is to average 36 points and take that many shots and keep.
Well, and that's why Harden deserves to be in the conversation, but he's not the MVP.
You could easily argue for him being, his impact can easily be argued as more than Giannis. Giannis put up very similar numbers last year in the coach change. You could argue Budenholzer is more of an impact than Giannis. Could you not?
Well, I mean, I think players around Giannis got better too. I mean, Brogdon's having the best year of his career. You know, Middleton, he has got much better than last year.
Then that's going to be an argument for Harden.
What's that?
If you're saying that the guys around Giannis are better.
But I think Giannis makes those guys better, too. I think Giannis helps make those guys. Look how many open shots Brogdon gets because Giannis, or any Middleton gets because Giannis draws so much attention driving down the lane and the Bucks drive and kick.
But you could also argue the same. P.J. Tucker wouldn't start on anybody's team in the league, and he only scores because of her. Clint Capella only scores because of her. That team goes as Harden goes, same as Giannis. But if you look at impact this season, it's easily Harden, and if you look at the numbers, the reason I would argue for Giannis being I like when the number one seed gets the MVP. But Harden is in the West, where the 8th seed would be a 5th seed in the East. So it's different. It's just like you guys are arguing as if it's not even close. It's very close. It's a close race.
Yeah. Now, see, I think it's a no-brainer. I mean, I look at those.
Who's more valuable to their team?
Harden easily.
Easily. No. Not easily. How is it easily?
That team is pretty much the same as last year. The team isn't a team. He took them to the Western Conference Finals, to a game, one game away from the finals.
You know what? I want to be fair to everyone that calls in, but you're ruining my day.
Well, I'm a Bucks fan. I'm just not as biased as you. I watch them play. You just said you didn't watch them play.
I've watched the Rockets play plenty of times.
Well, obviously you didn't watch enough because your arguments are horrible.
I watch Harden play 1-on-5 and shoot the ball. And he scores 60 times.
Game as a third seed with, you could argue, a less roster. Giannis's roster is better.
Well, you're right about that. They have a less roster. I mean, the supporting cast of the Bucks is much better. But I think Giannis Giannis is a big part of that, though.
Yeah, I believe that, too. Giannis is right there. I think Giannis is right there, too. I'm just saying, if you say Harden plays 1-on-5, yeah, what are you going to do, swing the ball to P.J. Tucker? Giannis has players that can score for themselves, so it's a different system. It's just like you guys are just golfing at what Harden is doing because you love Giannis so much. I love Giannis too, but that doesn't mean I got to downplay what somebody else is doing because I'm being biased.
Yeah. All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I want to go home.
Oh, I'm gonna take my ball and go home. Come on. Don't let one guy just ruin your day.
It did. It ruined my day.
No, come on.
We're gelling here. We're having a good show. People are calling in.
No, come on. Hey, you know what? If Giannis didn't win the MVP and the Bucks went to the NBA Finals.
Easily.
I'd be great. I'd be fine with it still. If Giannis didn't win the MVP, at the end of the day, I just want to see the Bucks.
We're all attracted to points.
Do win.
All cares about is points.
No, I just want to say at the end of the day, it's just I care about the team more than I care about just Giannis winning the MVP. Individual awards are great. I just want to see the team do well, man, in the postseason. If the Bucks busted out in the second round of the playoffs, Giannis wins MVP, it's not going to make me feel any better.
Here's what we'll do for just a second. We'll take a call regarding the Packers, and then we'll get back to the Bucks. What's up, Bill?
Hey, guys. A couple quick points. I guess part to answer your question from the last segment, my alternate teams are the Buffalo Bills and the Angels.
Yeah, everybody likes the Bills.
You're saying everybody likes everybody.
Well, you don't have to like the Bills, but...
Well, Chuck, my reasoning for it, and actually, you'll both like the Fond du Lac connection. My brother got me a pennant for them when I was really young from...
Shakey's?
I think it was called Jack's Team Sports.
Oh,
yeah,
Jack's.
Downtown, yeah.
Fond du Lac.
Yeah.
And so I never knew who they were. I was like 4. And then I was like, there's a team with my name. That's fantastic. And
yeah, you got to like the Bills.
Okay. Well, I mean, talking from those 90s Bills teams that were always going to the Super Bowl and losing.
Yeah, this was just before they started getting, they had Thurman Thomas, but they first, so that was also helpful that they also then went to 4 straight Super Bowls. But yeah, so that was helpful for me. For the last caller, they did also lose Chris Paul in the Western Conference Finals, and then lost to the Warriors after Chris Paul got hurt. And any national pundit will say, if Paul didn't get hurt, they would have won. So it's not all Harden, and he's not carrying the team. So that's just what I'll say about the Bucks for that. But for the Packers, if I had to put them in for one game, if they have to play Thursday night, what we all talk about is they don't get any rest if they play a Thursday night game in the middle of the season. At least this game is the first game of the year, and they don't have to worry about playing on a short week. So if there's a silver lining at all, it's that they start the season on Thursday without having to worry about coming off of a short week or anything along those lines.
Well, they would have just made the cuts the previous Saturday and Sunday. So going into that first game.
They're not playing a regular season game before that.
What's that?
There's no regular season game where they're coming off of 60 minutes of beating each other to pieces and then playing 4 days later.
No,
it's just.
Because they would play the Thursday. I think they probably play the Thursday before in a preseason game, their final preseason game, so they'll have a week. Where other NFL teams would have 10 days. So, I mean, it's a horse apiece, really.
It was just something where it's not, the starters aren't going to play in that game. They're going to have plenty of rest going into it. Where the biggest complaint we always have is, if it's a Thursday night game, then they play the previous Sunday and they don't get enough rest before that. They only have 4 days to prepare. they'll have plenty of time to rest for the game.
Yeah.
So that's,
they can start preparing right now for the Bears. I mean, maybe there's a silver lining there.
How's that?
They know they play the Bears right now.
Well, I mean, they're going to know in a couple of weeks the rest of the schedule,
an extra
too.
Month.
Although one of the TV stations in town, when their news people said, help, go to our website, we'll have the complete 2019 schedule. And I'm like, what? 2019 schedule isn't out yet?
I mean, yeah, opponents. That's because a lot of these news shows are produced by 25-year-old girls that don't know anything.
Wow, okay.
Kurt, Oak Creek, what's up?
That sounds like something I'd say.
Man, it's Kurt driving around town. What's up, Bart? What's up, Chuck,
hey,
man?
Hey, Kurt, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Phil. Y'all doing good?
Yeah, man, I'm doing good. Bart, you're a little off the kilter today because of the last caller.
Well, I let this
last
guy
caller.
Calmly... that guy was a good caller. He was very calm about his argument. Meanwhile, I'm so flustered that someone would actually call this show and campaign for Harden. I forget all the great things Giannis does on the defensive side of the ball. I forget that this guy could be the defensive player of the year if people got their heads straight on him. Because Giannis is not going to be the defensive player of the year because he's in the MVP conversation. People don't want to vote for him for both. Kurt?
You just chased Kurt off.
Kurt?
Yeah, just chased. Yeah, Kurt didn't like the cut of your jib there.
No, we like Kurt.
No, but he, something, I don't know. He
Kurt.
Yeah. That was like a hang up. That was like his cell phone drifted off of the. Kurt played himself. Kurt played us off.
Kurt.
Oh, man.
Was he mad I called him Kurt in Oak Creek and not Kurt in his car?
No, I think he was trying to make his point. You just kept going on and on, and then he got tired of it.
Kurt!
Oh, boy, Kurt. Sorry. I mean, I don't need to apologize. I just was listening to him here.
Call back, Kurt. Kurt's one of my favorite dudes.
He is. He's a good caller.
Oh, I'm a big Skyler fan, too, on the north side. Skyler. What's up, Sky?
And he's emerging.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Skyler.
What's up, fellas? Hey, I just want to say, at the end of this message, I want to send a message. But this is what I want to ask you guys. This is why Giannis is the MVP of the NBA. When was the last time the Bucks was irrelevant?
1971.
Thank you. This man, Giannis, got the Bucks on national television, damn near a must-see. People want to come see Giannis, but people forgetting the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis has the Reggie White effects on this franchise. This was a franchise nobody wanted to come to. This was like the basketball version of the elephant graveyard. Giannis, by himself, taking this landscape of this small market team and making it to a must-see. And I'm not just saying that's the reason why he's the MVP, because he's doing something, actually, to make the Bucks what they are.
Yeah, but the argument is that Chris Paul got hurt for 3 weeks and Harden was good during that time.
Chris Paul is a Hall of Famer. Name a Hall of Famer on the Milwaukee Bucks right now.
None.
Oh, Paul Gasol.
Well, yeah, but he... Yeah.
How about it?
Oh, yeah.
Your boy.
Getting his 3 minutes a game when he was healthy.
He don't count because he's just there to mentor.
Is Paul Gasol a Hall of Famer?
He's there for the team pitcher.
I thought so.
So he don't count. But this is what I wanted to say. This is the message I want to send. Clint Capella, you're in trouble. That's all.
See you, Sky.
All right, Sky.
Hey, I think Kurt's back.
Okay.
Kurt, where did you go?
Kurt.
Hey, man, I told you guys I'm driving around town, man. I must have went through a bad area. I lost you.
Okay, I thought it was some other reason, but okay.
No, Bart, but you're right, man. I was listening to a couple callers back when that guy was talking and just killed the momentum of the show. I'm like, what the heck is he talking about?
Yeah, kill the momentum of the show. I think we're going to get canceled.
I'm thinking, I'm like, wait a minute.
Good run.
Giannis is an offensive player and a defensive player. Harden couldn't hold a person in a paper bag all by himself. This man has no defense. He travels every time he shoots a three.
Now that is true. Thinking, those are travels.
Why is this? Yeah, I'm like, why is this man? Don't get me wrong. Yes, he should be considered for MVP, but Giannis is the man. Giannis has defense and offense, and when he leaves, I don't understand why everybody said it. Don't get me wrong. I like our role players. But when Giannis is not on the floor, they're a bust. Look at him when he hasn't played. I love Chris Middleton, but he's not consistent enough.
Oh, would you? Hey, you take Middleton off. Or you take Giannis off the Bucks. The Bucks are a lottery team.
Hey, Chuck, that might be the best thing you said in the last 2 weeks, brother. That was, that's exactly what we are.
That wasn't the most profound thing I said, though. I mean, geez, if that's the best thing I've said in the last 2 weeks, maybe we ought to cancel the show.
Just joking.
Or cancel me.
I appreciate you, man. Seriously.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you, man, because you keep me humble. Hey, but you guys, seriously, that defense, the defense is why Giannis should be considered MVP, not just for his offense.
Yeah, you know what? Giannis got screwed out of being first-team all-defensive team last year.
Why didn't I think of that when that dude was talking circles around me?
What's that?
The defensive part.
You're so we're still worried about that guy. But still.
Well, he put me in my place.
But Giannis should have been.
I'm embarrassed.
Giannis should have been first-team all-NBA last year. Defense. And he better be this year. You know, he wasn't last year, but he should have been, and should be this year.
All right, let's regroup. Ryan Braun fake forgot his passport last night. It's Chuck and Winkler. We'll have the details on that on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.